He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoked it crack!
Let's get it going. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, 12-ounce sports. We're presented by Lordco Auto Parts, the official auto part retailer of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. A lot to dive into today, and it's going to be some heavy topics, so we got to hear from you. Join the conversation anytime at World Hockey RPT. We're coming to you live on 12-ounce sports, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, the website, Zingo TV, channel 761. Wherever you are watching from, say good morning, say what's up, and join the conversation because we got a lot to talk about today on the show. Joining us in about 20 minutes time, we'll be talking to Kynan, OHL goaltender. If you remember the incident back in about December of 2019, Niagara Ice Dogs facing off with the London Knights. He's playing at home, freak accident. Guy comes driving towards the net, gets a skate blade to the groin, the thigh area. Scary, scary scene. 2 years later, he's back in the OHL, gets a shutout in his first game. We're going to talk to him. You know, we'll get his side of the story. I know that there's a lot more to it. I know he's a great kid, good Chicago guy. Maybe we'll pick his brain about that a little bit later on. But Tucker, he's going to make time for us here in about, well, let's say 16 minutes, 15 minutes roughly. Then after that, about 12:40 Mountain Standard Time, Adam Armentrout will join the show. We'll break down everything from NHL news. We even got Oilers preseason today in Edmonton. Yeah, we will get his thoughts there. But first off, if you're on your way to the rink, Lordco Auto Parts, they can ensure you have everything you need for a smooth ride, from bright white headlight replacement bulbs for increased visibility during early morning or late night commutes, to battery maintainers that will ensure your vehicle starts when the temperature drops. Visit a Lordco Auto Parts location today for knowledgeable service, quality parts and accessories. Visit lordco.com to find a store near you. There's one in Edmonton, and it is incredible. It's Cody Jansen with you live today from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios in beautiful Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31 and the show at World Hockey RPT. So we don't have, you know, it's tough news to talk about to start with the whole Jalen Schmerich, Andre Deniskin incident that happened. That's not something you want to go viral, but it's also something that I do feel was necessary to get out there. I feel it brought a lot of the hockey community together, and we will dive into all of that. I've also, how are my chiclets looking? Yeah, I one beer league game, teeth gone. Just an absolute idiot runs me from behind. One beer league game I sub in. That's how we're doing. So if I sound a little funny, I'm getting used to a couple new chiclets up front here. Give me a break. Pump it. Go easy in the conversation here. We're going to make do. I also got the Blue Jays hoodie on. We came to rain. Why? Because they're making a playoff run. Cody Jansen with you here. And I did say we are going to talk Jalen Schmerich here. And we'll jump into that right now because it was a disgusting gesture. I said it as it is. When I put it out on World Hockey Report, that's my honest thoughts. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I said it was disgusting. It was in the Ukrainian Hockey League. You know, it's towards an African-American hockey player on Donbass. And it's embarrassing. It's pathetic for hockey of how it was handled. They tried to sweep it under the rug. They weren't going to put it out there. Donbass put out the statement, said, hey, this is unacceptable. We kind of want this dealt with. And it's gotten to the point where today, Jalen had to put out a statement, and I'll read this quote-unquote here. You know, he said, I first want to thank everyone in the world and everyone in the hockey community, along with my friends, family, and all my previous teammates throughout my career who have reached out to me, posted, shared, even just liked the video to show their support. I would also like to thank HC Donbass for everything they have done for me and the support the Donbass community has shown me since this incident has occurred. These situations are very tough, and I'm a big believer in standing up for what is right. Therefore, I've been putting a lot of thought into what comes next for me in my career, but as of right now, I've decided that I'll be taking a personal leave of absence from HC Donbass, and I will not play another game in the Ukrainian Hockey League until Andrei Deneskin is suspended and removed from this league. Thank you. That's bold. That's courageous. That's brave. That's what the hockey world needs more of. And I would love to know your thoughts on the incident. You know, what do you say to Jalen? What do you, you know, what's the suspension? Should he be banned for life? Should the IIHF have stepped in sooner? What did you think of IIHF's statement? What do you think of the UHL? You know, being a little tight-lipped on this one right now. Obviously, something has to happen. And what pisses me off more than anything is somehow the culprit is the one not getting off easy here, but we've got the victim having to step away because of this incident. This is unacceptable. And for Jalen, we hope he gets, you know, gets what he needs, gets the help he needs, and he's comfortable to come back and play hockey because, you know, he's an unreal guy, an unreal hockey player, and this is unacceptable. The hockey world can't have this happen, and especially for it to happen on the IIHF's watch, that's what pisses me off. They govern the league. This guy's a national team player. Andrei Deneskin, I mean, I'll quickly go through his resume here. He played at Compete Hockey Academy. He played the Hampton Road Whalers in the USPHL. He played in the Brookings Blizzard in the NHL. He also played on Donbass. And it's such an embarrassment for the game. It's pathetic that we're dealing with this in 2021. And they need to lay down the hammer. They need to do something bold. Now, is bold banned for a year, 2 years, five, 10, life? That's what I want to know. And you can give me your thoughts, join the conversation anytime at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. If you're watching on Facebook, we're coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports. I want to know, what do you think is an appropriate penalty? How do you think his teammates reacted to it? Didn't seem like there was that much, fight back. Everyone saw it. Maybe some people didn't. Maybe the refs, the linesmen didn't exactly see it if they're trying to, you know, break up a fight or something. It's pretty blatant. What do you think about the IIHF statement? That was another one where people going, oh, you're too harsh on it. And hey, I can take the heat. I'll take the DMs. I'll take the emails, the messages, the texts saying, what are you doing commenting on this? You know, you leftist, you liberal. I'll take that. I don't care. I have no problem having the bots, the burner accounts, the losers with zero followers, you know, a million numbers after their name coming after me. That's fine. I have no issue giving my thoughts on that. Never have, never will. It's uncensored. It's hockey talk. That's what we're here to do. We're going to be brutally honest. And I mean, the fact that Deniskin got out there with all of his teeth, without any of the Donbass teammates doing anything, without his own team in Kremchuk doing anything, that's terrible for hockey. The IIHF needs to crack down. And I know that they're not making millions in the Ukrainian League. You don't need to tell me twice, but this is a top-end player, and you need to be harsh. You need to be harsh. Is a $200,000 fine crazy? That you should be paying for that for almost the rest of your life. That is an unacceptable gesture to make anywhere in society. You should never get a job again until you prove you've taken the steps. And that's why in the comments I said, hey, it's either you ban him for life or you say it's a five-year ban. You have to do X amount of community service, volunteering for the hockey league. I don't care if that's opening penalty box doors, filling out game sheets, whatever. Give them the worst of the worst work that you need done. Do it on a volunteer basis. Take the necessary courses. Take the necessary actions to prove that you've bettered yourself as a person. And then we'll consider it. 5 years down the road. 1 year is not enough. 2 years isn't enough. Just getting, you know, the shit kicked out of them, that's not enough. So it's interesting to see what the IIHF is going to do, because I think it's a pathetic statement. It's embarrassing for hockey. What investigation, what extra research needs to go in to say that, hey, we're suspending him indefinitely? What research, what extra, Here, I'll read the statement. This is from IIHF President Luke Tardif. I get it. He's just in there. It's not a fun situation to be in your first week of the job. I really don't give a damn. I mean, you're a professional. You're getting paid big bucks. Do your job. Here's what he says. Quote, the IIHF condemns in the strongest possible terms the actions of Andre Deniskin. There's no place for such blatant racism and unsportsmanlike gesture in our sport and society. This is a direct assault on the ideals and values of our game, and we'll ensure that all necessary ethics violation investigations occur to ensure that this behavior is sanctioned appropriately. Now, I get it. There's a process for suspending someone from a league for life, for handing out a major fine. But the fact that it's taking this long is unacceptable. This is a 24-hour, 48-hour investigation max. So what are they doing that's holding this up? What is happening? You can't tell me that they haven't got statements. They haven't talked to people in the rink. They haven't talked to people in the game. They're procrastinating. They don't want to lay down the hammer. I don't know. Are they scared of the sanctions that Ukraine and Russia may lay if they're strict on this? It could be. We all know how the IIHF is. They don't like to piss off those Eastern European countries because they've got money. Look at how they've handled Belarus for the past however many years. Look at how they treat Russia. So are they scared to lay down some sanctions against an Eastern European country? If that's the case, I still think that's unacceptable. But again, at least be honest and say, hey, we're chicken shit. We don't actually want to do our job here. Or you get something in your gut and you say, we're going with it. We're going to say this player will never play in another IIHF sanctioned event or league ever again. He doesn't deserve to. He doesn't deserve to. And that's my thought. Again, join the conversation anytime. I just wanted to get out there. There was a lot of, messages of support from some former NHLers, some current NHLers. You know, Kevin Weeks, Anthony Duclair, Pio Joseph, Curtis Gabriel, Matthew Joseph, George LaRocque, Maxime LaPierre, James Duthie, not a former NHLer, but I get it. You get it. You know, he was one of the first to comment out there. It was nice to see that. And I'd also like to know your thoughts on this. Did enough current NHLers speak up? This is a hockey issue. This isn't just, he's playing in the minor leagues in Europe. Let's see how it works for him. This isn't just it's unfortunate. It's a terrible incident. We hope it never happens again. Nah, that ain't what this is. This is an attack on hockey. This is an attack on society. And the fact that more hockey players, more current NHL stars, more people with a voice didn't speak up, that says a lot to me. It's sad. I would have loved to see, and I know your Connor McDavid's, your Sidney Crosby's, they're not active on social media. There's a lot of people pretty damn active on social media that have a massive voice in the hockey community, in the hockey world, that chose not to speak up. I would be very shocked if they haven't seen this yet. Because if they haven't seen this yet, I don't know. Maybe they haven't been on social media. Maybe they've been on vacation. Maybe I'm way off here. But if they haven't seen this yet, then that's fine. I don't want to be too harsh on them. But if you see this and you don't speak up and you're a part of the hockey world, you're a part of the problem right now. There is no reason not to put out any statement. There's no reason not to put your support behind Jalen. You are taking the easy road. You are disappointing the hockey community, and frankly, that's why it gets the reputation it does. You need to be better. That simple. Would have loved to see a lot more support thrown behind Jalen Smirk. You know, this is a guy who's playing for Donbass, and this isn't men's beer league. This isn't some senior league overseas. This is, Donbass plays Champions Hockey League. They're playing against the top teams in Sweden, Finland, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, wherever. I don't know exactly what their draw was this year. I think they played a couple of eBell teams, stuff like that, ICHL, whatever. This is a high level of hockey, and the fact that other hockey players with the biggest platforms chose not to speak up, that's what disappoints me the most. Again, Join the conversation. Would love to know your thoughts. Throw them out there anytime at World Hockey RPT. The chat is open. We're on Twitter all the time. I'm there at Janner31. I know we got a few new eyes on it today. So we'll break down some news here as well. This one just breaking. This is the Isles. They've loaned defenseman Bode Wild to Västerviks. Swedish Allsvenskan, the second league there. This is Lou sticking to his guns to get to some NHL news here for the Isles. This is Lou saying, hey, if you're not going to buy into what our leadership is doing, a.k.a. getting the vaccine, Bode Wild was vocal about not wanting to get it, don't bother playing in our farm system either. And Adam commented this as well. You know, we'll get his thoughts in about 20-some minutes on the show. He said they're also not exactly sending him to Stockholm. Kind of a message to send a kid to a place of 20,000 people in the Swedish second league instead of having them play in the coast. It's a message to send. Do you want to develop them? Yeah, of course. You've put time, you've put energy into them, but also you got to learn your lesson here is that it's not a privilege to play in the NHL. It's not a human right to play in the NHL. You got to learn some of those messages, you know, It comes down to, are you going to grab your lunch pail, go to work, and do what the leaders want? Or are you going to express your rights and freedoms, which is fine. But your rights and freedoms aren't to play in the NHL. So, sure, maybe Sweden doesn't have any rules against that. That's fine. Go play there. Have a career in the Allsvenskan. You can go and make 50 grand. You know, maybe not everyone's making 50 grand in the league, but you can go and make money playing hockey over there. You can go be a professional hockey player. That's fine. But you're not going to play in the NHL. You're not going to play on Lou's team if you're not vaccinated, because that is the standard that him and his veterans have set. It's impressive. We also got other NHL news from today. Would be reminiscent not to mention it. Chris Johnson, he's going to be joining TSN as their hockey insider. Darren Dreger broke the news, of course. Who else but Drags to break this news? So now you got Sportsnet. They've got Elliot Friedman, their top insider. And you've got Chris Johnson for TSN. Interesting dynamic. I kind of like it. We get a little bit more competition out there. Also, the NHL, they're investigating Evander Kane for possible league COVID protocol violations. I mean, this guy, it's just investigation after investigation. I know Adam's going to have thoughts on this, so we will pick his brain about that after. Also, the Oilers released their lineup tonight. As they play the Kraken, it looks awesome. This does not look like a game. If you're in Edmonton, try to get out there. This is going to be one of the best times you can see these Oilers stars in action, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. So I guarantee you, regular season rolls around, the Oilers start buzzing, they start winning games. Ticket prices are going through the roof. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows they're going through the roof. Shout out quickly to the Fort McMurray Oil Barons. What's going on, guys? Also, those jerseys, you know, the orange jerseys, unbelievable. They're going to be auctioned off in October for Indigenous charities. If you haven't seen it, check it out at World Hockey RPT. A sharp look, to say the least. And it's, it's a proactive measure. It's not something they need to do. Obviously, reconciliation is something that needs to happen in Canada, and it is happening. I do believe, you know, people are making the right steps here. And to see a hockey team with that big of a pull in a community like Fort McMurray, it's good to see. And it's good to see that they're auctioning them off, sending, you know, the money to Indigenous charities. That's good. It's a proactive step, and you got to tip your hat to them. Alrighty, we got to head off to a commercial break there. We are already late. We don't want to keep Tucker waiting any longer. When we come back, the OHL goalie, it's probably the comeback story of the year for junior hockey, at least. Maybe hockey in general. We'll get his side. It's Tucker Tynan. After the break, you're watching World Hockey Report on 12 Ounce Sports.
Sport Travel Tours is the official tour supplier for the Spangler Cup Ice Hockey Tournament in Switzerland. Nestled amongst the stunning Swiss Alps is the exclusive resort of Davos. This December, teams from all around the world will compete in the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, the Spangler Cup. Sport Travel Tours packages include incredible hotels, amazing tickets, and a New Year's Eve party in the mountains to remember. Check out sporttraveltours.com today.
Week 3 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for Week 4 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now, place a bet of $1 on any game this week to receive $150 in free bets instantly. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at $1 million in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. All right, it's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Visit Lord Co.'s in-store truck centers at select locations. Cody Jansen with you here on World Hockey Report. Special guest for this one, joined by another attendee, Tucker Tynan. And if you remember that name, it's because a couple of years back, crazy incident in the OHL. He's back, he's healthy, and he's going to join us right now on World Hockey Report to bring him on the phone lines for Quack Stats. Hey, it's your first game back. I think it was just over a week ago now. You had a 28-save shutout against Oshawa. That incident was in December of 2019, Tucker. So, hey, first off, how did that feel? Because that's huge.
Yeah, no. It felt great to be back in a real game setting. You know, it's amazing just to get the chance. It's definitely great.
Now, as someone who, you know, played the position myself, I know it takes a lot just getting up and getting in the net every single night, but I can't imagine what goes through your head when you look back on that incident. Because can you just walk me through that night in December? Obviously, it's a freak accident against London, but it's something that you can't prepare for.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, you can't really prepare for that. Again, like you said, it's kind of just a play that happens like a few times a game. It just got me in the wrong spot, and it's definitely a lesson to learn. You know, it's just adversity and just got to work through that.
So walk me through the play from your perspective, because his skate, when he's driving the net, it just gets between your pad and your pants, correct? It just rides.
Yeah, it was just past to like the front of the net. He kind of got tripped up. He just went feet first, and yeah, like you said, through the in between the gear, just yeah, can't really control that. It's, you know, it happens.
Now, I know you're not a doctor, but can you kind of give me a little bit of the description of what happened? Like, was it certain muscles that were cut, certain tendons, arteries? I know it's a scary situation, and I had a very similar one. Luckily, I didn't get cut in the artery, but I switched to core shorts after it, just being a goaltender. I had something very similar happen, so I know how crazy it can be, especially with the leg, that part very close to some arteries. Can you walk me through, I guess, some of the details of what happened to you?
Yeah. Basically, the skate got me right in the kind of quadricep area. So that was like, luckily it didn't cut through the entire muscle, just part of it. So it's able to, you know, just working out, trying to get back, or, you know, was working out is more kind of for that and just getting back into full shape.
So it didn't cut any major arteries though, eh? It was mostly.
No, I believe it missed a lot of arteries.
Jeez, that's unreal. That's a crazy one. And I mean, I'm sure you've heard of Clint Malarchuk before. We've had him on the show multiple times. Just, again, it's freak accidents that happen when you play hockey. Stuff like that you can never prepare for. But what's the recovery process like? I believe I saw it took you 8 months or so to get on the ice again. Obviously, there's so much strength training. Plus, being a goalie, obviously, the legs are the most important part for you. So what was it like, the recovery process, and how did you go about that?
Yeah, you know, I think the first couple months were kind of just resting and not really doing much, just letting it heal up. And I think after that, after like 3 or 4 months, started doing some strength training. Then, say, like 5 or 6 months, I started skating, and then just back to normal. Just got to keep grinding, and you know what I mean?
Tucker, how was your mental health during that time? It's a crazy incident to go through, but again, you know, you're kind of riding high. That's your first season in the O. You're coming off of a great season NCDC the year before, and all of a sudden that just puts a stop to it, and now you don't know. I mean, I guarantee you there's a point in time where you were kind of thinking, wow, am I ever going to put on the pads again? You know, you have no clue how serious it is in that moment. Walk me through your mental health during that time and just how you were able to persevere to get back on the ice.
I felt like I had a good chance to be relatively decent high draft pick, you know, and it was definitely tough, you know, seeing other people that, you know, maybe you're better than, you know, play better than, you know, go through that process and, you know, you have to sit out, but you can't really, you know, you can't control that. So you just gotta, again, just work as hard as you can, just get back, and everything happens for a reason. I can't really complain or, you know, no point in, you know what I mean?
Love the attitude. And you talk about things that you can't control. One of them was last year was COVID. And I believe you would have been healthy to play last season if it would have been going correct. But also, do you find that maybe not playing gave you a little bit of extra time so that you didn't have to rush into anything so that you could get back to 100% full strength, fully mentally ready for this season? Or do you feel like, hey, I wish I would have played last year. I was ready to go.
Yeah, you know, I think it was, it led to the opportunity. I got to sign the AHL for a little bit and, you know, get a little bit of that experience. And that was, in my opinion, that was priceless because, you know, you get to be teammates with all those guys that have gone through that. And some of the players are older. They've played hundreds of NHL games. It's a priceless experience, especially being, you know, 18 years old and being on an AHL team. It's just, it's great, you know, to see what you need to do to get to the next step.
So you mostly practiced. That was just the Marlies, correct?
The Iowa Wild.
Iowa. Okay. Oh, bad memory. Good research right there. Okay, so I mean, you pretty much would have practiced then. Who were the guys when you were there? Who were the guys in net?
There was Hunter Jones. He was a new guy. He played for Peterborough. I played against him a few times. And there was Joel Rumpel, who's, you know, he's been a professional for a while. And, you know, you just pick on things that these guys do, you know, that they work hard, they work smart, and just, you know, you see what they do and you just want to kind of like, you know, work hard yourself. It's inspiring to see for sure.
I grew up with Rumpel by Swift Current. Fun fact. That's hilarious that you would have got to meet him. Great guy. But okay, yeah. So you say you're feeling good now. Obviously, you're feeling good if you're kicking out a 28-save shutout to welcome yourself back into the OHL. But, like, you know, personally, how are you feeling going into this season? Obviously, I mean, you know, you went through a near traumatic incident in the OHL. You returned. You're playing back in those barns again. How are you preparing for this season, and how do you hope it goes?
I feel great. I feel, you know, better than before. I'm like, you know, the goal is to be the best goalie you can be. That's just, you know, what I'm going for. I think we have a really strong team this year, and I'm really hoping that we can, you know, make something happen. I think we will.
Well, now this is one that I like to ask up and coming players is, what's your definition of a successful season? You know, and this is on a personal level. This isn't a team level saying, hey, I want to win a Mem, you know, I want to win a Mem Cup. I want to win a league championship. Personally, what are you going to look back on the end of the season and say, hey, that was successful?
I think Memorial Cup championship. I definitely think that there's big possibility that we'll, you know, I think we have a really good team. I think great group that works hard and bonds together. And I think there's no reason why we shouldn't make a deep run.
But for you personally, not on a team setting, what are you going to able to look back on? Yeah, what do you want, or what would you consider a success when you're looking back on the season, being like, hey, that's what I want?
I think there's no reason, you know what I mean? I don't think there's anyone that works harder. I think that's got to be a goal of mine, to be the best goalie in the league.
So, obviously, you know, it's another chance for you to crack a World Junior team as well. Is that on your mind? Is that something you're hoping to get an invite, get some looks at? You know, being an American, obviously, that the tournament in Canada, it's a huge year, and you saw how big it was, you know, in previous seasons for this American team. Is that something you're eyeing up?
Yeah, you know, for sure, it's always been a dream of mine. And, I definitely want to do everything I can to get a spot, get an invite, and I'm, you know, just going to keep working hard and, you know, doing what I can do.
Tucker Tynan, my guest here on World Hockey Report. Hey, you grew up down in the States, in Chicago to be specific. Walk me through, who did you look up to when you were playing? Who was the goalie you're watching when you're a kid being like, that's who I want to be like? Or even, why did you get into goalie?
I really liked Antti Niemi when he was on that Blackhawks team. I was a big fan. I just loved how he played, and always grew up seeing him. You know, obviously Crawford as well. So obviously those guys are, it's kind of a given, you know, being in Chicago.
Two good guys to look up to there, too, as well. You picked out the two goalies with the flattest pads in the league.
Yeah.
Unbelievable style. Do you remember Niemi? And I mean, you would have been young, but like he had those like TPS pads TPS. That were literally like pieces of plywood.
Yeah, but I got to try them on. I think there was like an old pair of shoes. It's like straight up. They don't flex. It's crazy. Man.
And he was rocking like 37 plus two as well. Anything to get an advantage. Gotta love that. Okay, I got to pick your brain about Chicago. It's the best city in the world, arguably.
For sure.
I mean, there's really nothing like it, especially if you're a sports fan like myself. Are you a Cubs or a Sox guy?
Cubs. I like the Cubs. I'm not a huge baseball, but I lean the Cubs.
You got to pick one. You got to pick one. Do you ever put ketchup on a hot dog?
I do not, no.
Okay, that's a good one. Lou Malnati's or Giordano's?
Oh, yeah. Luminati's great restaurant.
What makes it different than Giordano's? I've had both, and I'm not sure if I agree with you on that one.
I like the deep dish. Very good. Very solid.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a deep dish guy, but I don't know. They're all kind of similar. And also, is Italian beef overrated or what? Or am I being too harsh?
I think it's a little overrated.
Portillo's, are you a fan or what?
Yeah, I think it's probably, if there's the fast food place you're going to go to, I think it's got to be there.
Yeah, Portillo's is next level. Also, I mean, are some of the sites in Chicago made out to be a little bit too much? Because the first time I was there, I do think the Bean's pretty cool. But like Navy Pier, everyone hyped it up like I was going to be seeing the coolest thing ever. I'm not sure. I don't want you to rip on your hometown, but is Navy Pier a little too pumped up?
I think it's just very tourism populated. It gets really, really busy nowadays, and it's hard to move around. Like, there's too many people now.
So you're not 21, but you got a favorite spot or something that people should check out when they go to Chicago? It doesn't have to be a restaurant or bar or anything.
Yeah. I think there's just so many places, man. I think it's the best city in the world. It's such a great spot.
Well, hey, maybe one day we'll see you lacing up at the stadium. So, Tucker, man, I appreciate you taking the time here. I appreciate you letting me pick your brain on the incident. Glad to hear you're healthy. I mean, it was definitely something where the whole hockey world was behind you after that incident. So it's incredible to see you back on the ice kicking again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sport Travel Tours is the official tour supplier for the Spengler Cup Ice Hockey Tournament in Switzerland. Nestled amongst the stunning Swiss Alps is the exclusive resort of Davos. This December, teams from all around the world will compete in the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, the Spengler Cup. Sport Travel Tours packages include incredible hotels, amazing tickets, and a New Year's Eve party in the mountains to remember. Check out sporttraveltours.com today.
Huge thanks to Tucker Tynan for joining me. It's just a crazy story. And we tweeted out one of the links, one of the pictures, and I know it's gruesome. You could probably chuck a trigger warning, whatever you want on there. But just the fact that he battled through it to come back, post a shutout in his first OHL game back, not a big deal. I mean, this kid's a stud. I hope he gets onto the American World Junior team. Great goaltender. Sucks it happened in a draft year, but again, for him to battle back, go through adversity, that's Chicago tough right there. All right, back to the Quack Stats Hotline we go, and we're joined by Adam Ehrmantraut again. And, you know, the big topic of the day, obviously, if you want to comment in, join the conversation anytime at World Hockey RPT, 12 Ounce Sports, wherever you want to get on here. I mean, YouTube, Facebook, we are pretty much everywhere. Is the Jalen Schmerich incident with Andre Niskanen? Now, I gave my thoughts on that, and I wanted to bring Adam on board here to ask him, do you think enough NHLers spoke up here? Because I know that there's going to be some cases where I guarantee you some of the stars missed it. But I also think that there's a lot of stars and NHL players with a big platform, a big voice, who would have saw this and chose not to speak up. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Morgan Riley made a comment just on Sportsnet or whatever about it. But at the same time, if we look at kind of who quote tweeted it from us, it was all players of color. So yeah, I definitely think that there could have been more of a backing, so to speak, from I guess bigger name NHL players, because right now it was like Anthony Duclair, and no disrespect, but it was Duclair and Pierre Oliver Joseph and Matthew Joseph, and I mean not a ton of big names, and obviously that's part of the issue. That Deniskin, he had like a statement come out where he's like, what I've done might have been racist or something like that. And like that way, I think he deleted that one pretty quickly because that was, it's a joke. And I remember I saw Donovan Bennett of Sportsnet. He said the fact that he seems so okay with doing this kind of shows that where the issue lies. So that was a really good point by him too. But yeah, I think that there could have been more people speaking up.
100%. And you get James Duthie, you get Kayla Gray speaking out on the issue. And really, I do appreciate them speaking out. My biggest thing is this comes down to a hockey and society issue here. We've dealt with, I shouldn't say we, but the hockey world, the world in general, has dealt with this for so long. And the fact that something this blatant can happen at such a high level, Donbass plays Champions Hockey League. That's right up there, right below KHL, I would say, because it's the best teams in Europe. It's not just leagues in Europe. This is right next to the American League level, and it can happen at that level, high pace of hockey. And the fact that so few people spoke up on social media, that's a little disturbing. A little disturbing to see. And I know Jalen Chmerich was an NHL prospect, this and that. The fact that he has to step aside now because of this, that sucks. Hard to watch. You feel bad for him. End of the day, you hope he gets the help. You hope he gets the comfort he needs and he can come back a little bit stronger. On to other news now. I can't say it's that much better, but Evander Kane's back under investigation, this per Sportsnet, for breaking COVID protocols. I know you saw it. I know we've talked about Evander Kane investigations every week for the past 7 years, it feels like. Not to make a joke out of it. But again, this guy is back in the news again for the wrong reasons. I don't know. Do you have any insight on this COVID protocol, what he may have broke? Or is this just something where the league's got to cut ties with this guy sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I don't really know. Because, I mean, if you're fully vaccinated, which, I mean, it seems like every single player except for, like, maybe, what, 10 in the NHL are, that, like, what protocols could he have broken? That's kind of the question. Maybe it's a quarantine thing. Maybe it's a testing thing. I don't really know, but obviously this story is just getting kind of way out of hand. The kind of Evander Kane saga, and it's crazy though. Like you look at NHL Network doing their top 50 players list, he'd probably be on there had he been keeping himself a little straight. You know, like he has all these issues going back to Winnipeg, going back to Atlanta. Like it's crazy, and I mean it's actually kind of sad because he's a hell of a hockey player, and I mean. Any team would take him in a heartbeat for his on the ice performance, but then you get to this stuff and all that, and it says he's getting help for his gambling and stuff. But at the same time, I mean, you can get help for that, but then you go and break COVID protocol. So what are you really learning from? So I don't know. Like eventually, it's just going to be such an issue, and it sucks for him too because he's literally declared bankruptcy too. And I mean, what so. Like you honestly could probably void that contract when it's all said and done, right? Because he's breaking so many rules, so many protocols, so many, I don't know, like he's getting charged and obviously innocent until proven guilty. But at the same time, like he's broken so many rules and team rules that, you know, eventually that contract might be able to be terminated.
And I don't want to be old man yells at cloud here, Adam, but speaking with, you know, an up-and-comer like Tucker Tynan before this, and, you know, talking about how big of an honor or privilege it would to be able to, you know, play at the next level. You know, obviously he missed his draft year and stuff like this. Just the way you hear from players, up-and-comers who are, you know, they're working their ass off to get to this level. And to see some take it for granted, that's what really rubs me the wrong way. And that's what, obviously, Evander Kane needs help, and I hope he's able to find it. But it's going to happen sooner rather than later. We can't just keep sweeping thing after thing under the rug, being like, well, the gambling investigation's over, so now it's on to the next one. And, oh, he's breaking more protocols, so yeah, we're going to investigate it. But it's just, it keeps happening. And if they keep letting it happen, that's when things spiral out of control. And that's where the NHL needs to, you know, have a stance.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, not to make this a COVID conversation, but obviously that's what he's being investigated for. But for a guy like Josh Archibald to just say, like, to tweet out about a conspiracy about a pandemic, I think that's such an embarrassment to him. And I mean, I think Ken Holland's done a great job of handling that, where it's like, okay, like, you're not playing. Like, you can do whatever you want. You can tweet whatever you want. And I mean, freedom of speech, sure. But when that kills off, kills so many people and does all these things, I mean, and for him to say that, I think it's an embarrassment for him. And I mean, I could definitely see the scenario where he's not playing. And I mean, there's other guys, just like Bode Wild just got sent to a town of 20,000 people in Sweden because he refused to get the vaccine. Tyler Bertuzzi said no. And there's a prominent player on New Jersey who's not getting it currently. And they have big games in Canada at the end of the year. It's what Greenman was talking about. So you look at the numbers, we see the numbers, the whole however many 135 people in Alberta ICU, and not one of them is fully vaccinated. So, I mean, it's the stats are the stats. And I mean, hopefully that the league and Evander Kane and everyone can kind of figure this out and look at the stats, I guess.
Now, I wanted to ask you about a prominent media personality, but since you brought up Archibald already, I got to dive into this. Adam, how would you feel if this guy's on your team, he's sharing, you know, stuff about a plandemic, stuff about COVID's a hoax, stuff about I don't trust medical experts. Imagine if you're on the Oilers and you lost a friend, you lost a family member, a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt. Well, doesn't matter who it is.
Alex Stalock can't play.
I know, that's what I was getting to, but thanks for jumping in. No, exactly, you got a teammate whose career is practically ended post-COVID because of symptoms he's having, and you're out there sharing this? Like, it's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing at the max that the Oilers are putting up with it, frankly. I agree, Ken Holland's handled it fine, but that's just, it's such a low thing to do. Is you want to say, oh, everyone needs to be treated equal. It's a personal choice. Well, hey, it's not a personal choice to take a jab at a plandemic when there's actually people dying and there's proof of that. That's just, it's sickening.
Yeah, and I mean, for Archibald's sake, like if you don't want to get the vaccine, like that's up to you. But for you to go out and kind of tweet these ridiculous conspiracy theories, I think is so ridiculous, honestly. And I mean, like I don't really know. Like I'd assume he's gonna either get sent to Bakersfield or get sent somewhere that, you know, he's not gonna play in the NHL this year. And quite frankly, he's a fringe NHL player at best. You know, he's a fourth liner who hits and penalty kills, but and in Edmonton he's gotten every opportunity possible. He's played he started games on Connor McDavid's right wing. So I mean, hockey aside, I think that, you know, it's not worth the headache. And, you know, Ken Holland, obviously there is a couple guys in Edmonton who are kind of iffy on it, but, you know, he just kind of said, look, you're letting the team down, the stats are the stats. And if you look at Columbus, I believe it's, I think it was John Davidson, the president, his daughter's a doctor. So that's kind of why Columbus is taking the stance of like, we'll fire you and we'll cut you. And I mean, if you see firsthand what doctors and nurses are going through, like it kind of goes without saying that we all know what the choice should be, but obviously certain people think differently.
No, I mean, you're just a piece of trash at that point, if that's what you're sharing. Also, Eric Compton in the chat here said, what about the guy on New Jersey who retired to become a social media influencer? I did have this on my list of extras, but I got to get Adam's take on this. It's Nikita Papagayev, something like that.
Yeah, he played in Moose Jaw.
I was going to say he was a dub guy. And he quit to do pranks. And I know you're a prank guy because you know Nelk, and anyone who knows Nelk knows that they're pretty damn funny. I know they cross the line. I know they don't exactly associate themselves with the most likable people. But, like, dude, come on. You're going to quit the NHL to become a social influencer, and, you know, it just makes such a big deal about it. What was your thoughts when you seen it? I don't know if you know the kid or not.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good hockey player. He's 6'5". Like, kind of, I watched him. I was like, there's definitely something there. And then, like, I think he ended up getting traded to Prince George when Prince George, like, they kind of went for it the one year where they traded for Brennan Gooley and this Papagayev guy and a couple other guys. But I think that he was kind of done in the NHL. Like, he was playing in Russia. And then I was looking at his post yesterday, and he's just like, I obviously can't understand them because it's a different language. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's a big risk to kind of just take that, like, throw away 200 grand, let's call it, and then just say, yeah, I'll just become an influencer, when it's not like he was that big of a name to begin with. Like, he's kind of getting publicity just based on that he was the Devil's prospect, I guess, at one point. But yeah, that's that's a wild step, I guess, to take, and a risk as well.
Interesting career choice, to say the least. Hey, before we get into the Oilers here, they got a preseason game tonight against Seattle. Great lineup. We'll dive into that in a little bit here. Chris Johnson joins TSN. That's a shocker. Now you've got Johnson versus Friedman. It's the battle of the insiders almost. So he's over to TSN now. Were you shocked? Did you hear anything about this before?
No, I mean, when he went to the Toronto Star, so he left Sportsnet to go to the Toronto Star, and he kind of, his first article was kind of like, why I'm doing this, and I guess there's, like, I don't know the full story, obviously, but he kind of said, like, yeah, like, I'm doing this, like, I used to read the paper with my parents or my mom or somebody like that, so it's kind of like a sentimental move, but I know that the Toronto Star associates a lot with TSN, right, like the Steve Simmons and Bruce Arthurs and all those people, or Dave Festchuk, like, they'll kind of do the radio hits and stuff with TSN, and I'm kind of surprised by this because who's Sportsnet insiders now? Friedman? Like that's it. Who's
Elliot,
TSN?
Merrick, yeah. Kind of there.
It's like, and now you look at TSN, it's McKenzie, Dreger, Chris Johnson, Pierre LeBrun. And like all, like, McKenzie's kind of there, but the odd time he'll just like tweet out that Eichel wants her trade, and he'll just like have this news waiting. But yeah, it's crazy, and like their whole insider trading thing does well. But yeah, like Elliot's kind of the guy, I guess. And I mean, Sportsnet's, they've done some weird things, let's call it, in the past little while. But yeah, I don't know. I wasn't that surprised. I saw it. I was like, yeah, it makes sense if he's going to Toronto Star. He's probably part time with TSN or whatever. But I don't know what Sportsnet's trying to do with their whole, like, it. Like, would it surprise you if ESPN or TNT offered Friedman the bag and just said, come work for us, and then Sportsnet's hooped?
Yeah, that's, and again, I just don't know their budget. I feel like Sportsnet has a pretty massive budget. I feel like we might underestimate how much money they do have to throw around at times, where TSN also just shaved a good amount with having guys go down south. So guys are working. I mean, you lose a Ray Ferraro's salary, right? Now all of a sudden,
yeah.
Now you're in the betting, or you know, the bidding war for a Chris Johnston. You know, you can easily go to him and say, "Hey, how's an extra $50,000, $100,000 a year sound to you?" Now all of a sudden,
go join our panels.
Yeah, exactly. And I bet you they probably said, "Hey, you want more of a work life as well? Here you go."
Yeah, he doesn't have to work Saturday nights or do any of this stuff anymore. He just kind of does his thing, goes to Leafs game, goes for beers after, whatever.
Yeah, you can watch him from your couch instead. All right, let's get to the Oilers here, because I know you want to talk about that. We will we'll dive in with a little bit more of a season preview later, but more of just a preseason preview right now as they play the Kraken tonight. Looking at that lines, I mean, we'll start from the back end here per our guy Bob. Mike Smith, Mikko Koskinen, your goalies. You got Nurse, Barry's a pairing, Broberg, Berglund, and Nima Leinen and Bouchard is your third D pairing up front. You got Hyman playing with McDavid and Puljujärvi. You got Draisaitl centering RNH and Yamamoto. You got Shore on the third line with Perlini and Turris. And then on the fourth line, you got McLeod, Benson, and Sevier. Now, Sevier's an interesting one. It's Colton. He's an Alberta guy. He's kicked around. He's kind of a consistent, like, 5 goals, 5 assists, maybe a little bit more. You know, maybe 6 and 10 some years here. So an interesting PTO for him to take and really come into Edmonton and make his statement. I think he could be competing for an actual spot on this team. So I want to know your thoughts. Obviously, it's a great lineup tonight. You know, we're going to see some good hockey. But with this Oilers team right now, has anything surprised you? Are you looking at anything in particular?
Yeah, I think the main thing with Seager is that, like, we talked about Archibald. I think he's there to take Archibald's spot, right? Like, at this point, if they probably knew about Archibald and whatever when they signed Seager to this PTO, but by all accounts, Tyler Benson's played the best, and he's fixed his skating, I guess, and he's been tremendous through, I guess, the first couple weeks of camp, so you kind of have, like, their third and fourth line tonight is probably their competing fourth line kind of throughout the year. And I mean, for Perlini, he's a guy who's kind of, he's got everything. He just hasn't really put it together. And I mean, to go to Arizona to start your career, Arizona, then Detroit, you're probably behind the eight ball already. So yeah, it's good to see him doing well. Devin Shore, you know what he is. Kyle Turris kind of didn't really work out at all last year.
But they've said, yeah, with Turris, and I haven't got to watch too much of it, but they're saying Turris came in incredible shape. Like, not just good shape.
That's a classic.
Like, he came in incredible shape, though, but he's moving to the wing now. He's not counted to play up and down the middle. All of a sudden, if he can fit into a third, fourth line winger spot, you never know. Because if Zach Kassian, I don't know how long his leash is going to be this year, but if he's going to be a more effective player than Zach Kassian, you got to assume he's taking his role.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the Oilers, it's crazy like how much their team's changed. They basically have added, what is it, Hyman, Fogle, Ryan in their top nine, and those spots last year, it's insane. They're operated by Dominic Cahoon, who's overseas, Gayden Haas, who's overseas, like Devin Shore, who's your 13th forward. Now they've added three. I'm not sure Ryan's a true number three center, maybe a bit of a four, but they've added three top nine players, so to speak. So, I mean, that's awesome for them. Like, this is the best they've been in probably, I don't know, since, I honestly don't even know. They're better than they were in when they went to the second round. So let's see if that holds up. Obviously, the big one's the goaltending, and you'll see if Mike Smith can replicate what he did. But you just kind of mentioned that Bouchard's playing with an Emma line, and I think, to me, like, what it says is that you got Nurse Barry as, like, your clear pair. And I'm pretty sure that Bouchard and Keith is going to be your number two pair. And that's kind of what it looks like from the outside, because right now it's like, okay, Keith isn't there because he was late to get the vaccine or whatever. And you're not just playing Bouchard with Niemelainen because you think that's going to be a pair. I think Niemelainen is probably a placeholder for Keith. And then you have, who is it, CeCe and Chris Russell or something like that. So,
yeah, Cuckoo Cuckoo.
Is he on a PTO or did he sign a PTO?
No, I think he's on a one-year deal, doesn't he?
Oh, okay.
One or two.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Yeah. Yeah, either that or it's just like under the table, like you're here. But yeah, so that's kind of their defense. Obviously, you don't want to lose Adam Larson, but with this new cross-checking rule, maybe that's going to save you a couple penalty kill goals allowed. So yeah, I mean, for Edmonton, like, you're kind of banking on Bouchard to take a jump. You're hoping that Tyler Benson and McLeod can take jumps. And after that, I mean, there are some people who think that Skinner, Konovalov's going to play this year. I don't see it, but I mean, if things go wrong the first month, don't think that Ken Holland's not going to do something drastic, because he knows that this is kind of the shot.
Any other thoughts on the Oilers this year, or can we talk about beer league hockey for a second?
No, just, I mean, their division's not very, it's probably the worst division in the league. So, you know, it's probably them and Vegas battling it out all year for the one spot in that division. And then
here's a take that everyone's giving Vegas way too much credit. They don't have Fleury anymore, Adam.
They got worse.
They got way worse.
Like, they got Laurent Brossoit, who's a fringe backup at best. And then they traded Nick Holden for Dadonov. They didn't fix anything up the middle. They got Nolan Patrick. Like, I really don't know. They got worse. I said that all along. They lost to Vezina guy.
The Oilers are the best team in the Pacific.
Yeah, they're giving a long leash to Robin Leonard. And quite frankly, he's never proven anything in a number one role. He can be a good tandem guy, but is he a 65-game guy? No. And so, like, where you're losing a Vezina goalie, like, I don't think people are – they're just like, oh, it's Vegas. They're deep up front, but it's the same old story. They have no center depth whatsoever.
And we'll break down the whole Pacific and stuff. Next week, maybe we got our NHL preview show. You get a full hour of Adam and Cody hanging out talking hockey. But, I mean, we got a minute here, so I got to get my beer league story in because Adam...
Here, can I tell one too quickly?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you go first. You got 30 seconds.
It's not even a story. It's just like my first 5-on-5 game in 2 years, and there's like there two guys get 10, a couple guys like get into like little tussles, like a guy gets his helmet ripped off, like... 11:15 at night, and it's just everybody's freaking ready to go. Like, it's crazy, man. But yeah, that's just beer league in a nutshell.
It's such a joke, and that's what it was too. Like, I was filling in for a buddy. I'm doing him a favor, whatever. It's like, I got no problem, you know. It's like, okay, I'll go play hockey, I'll go float around a little bit, you know. I'm throwing a little backhand up the boards. Did not think for a second this guy's gonna finish his check on me, like right in the numbers, like stick to the back of my neck, teeth go right into the glass. Boom, boom, Chicklet's gone. I mean, what a joke of a league.
That's brutal.
If you're showing up and doing that, like, it's not trial. You got parents in the stands yelling. I mean, there's scraps after. It was just, it was like a chippy game, and you're just like, this is tougher. Like, I mean, I played senior in Saskatchewan and a lot tougher teams. I mean, when you're playing, it's like Cut Knife and Battlefords. That's some scary guys. That didn't happen once there. So I don't know. It's just a gong show. I give you credit for playing beer league. You might be the toughest hockey player I know, Adam.
The unvaccinated player on the Devils is Mackenzie Blackwood, by the way. So that's a pretty huge hole if you think the Devils are going to make any noise late in the season. So it's an issue. But yeah, dude, beer league, it's crazy. Like I like go in the corner. I like cover my face completely with my glove. Just like don't get anywhere near me. But yeah.
Gotta be tough to do that. Huge thanks, though, to Tucker Tynan for joining the show. Adam Ermentrout, as always, will break down the entire NHL season. And hey, we're going to finish this one off. We're standing with Jalen Schmerich. You know what? That's our guy. That's hockey's guy. We have to do better. We need to be better. It's that simple. Everyone, until next week, be kind, be better.